Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror.
Victims? Don't be melodramatic.
Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stopped moving forever?
Projectionist?
If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, only.
Projectionist?
Oh, why, hello there, dear boy. I was just taking a moment and rewatching Carol Reed's The Third Man.
See, so you still have the recording light taped over. It's time for us to record the new podcast.
Excellent. I am positive our dear listeners are eager for another of my sinister Tales of Terror radio broadcasts, Ross. Come, take a seat next to me beside the fireplace.
You do know the vault is temperature controlled, right? That thermostat on the wall says it's almost 82 degrees in here.
Technology! I prefer the old ways. Take this beauty here. 1942's Simplex theater projector. I have given her proper and minor maintenance, and here she is, still running. In fact, Ross, I used one of these very same projectors at the Haunted Drive-In in the early 60s.
That's interesting, projectionist.
Yes. Although a few of the close-minded citizens of Haddonfield ruined that simplex projector when they set fire.
No. I was referring to the case I researched for this week's episode, projectionist. It took place in the early 60s. It involves the WNUF TV station.
Oh, my, yes. It suddenly went out of business in 1963, if I recall correctly.
You do recall correctly. And it didn't exactly go out of business, but was shut down for a nefarious incident.
Perhaps you should inform the dear listeners the name of your research for this week, Ross.
Listeners, we are calling this case Naughty Kids. As usual, I want to thank both Preston Griffith and Rockford J. for research help in the Vault Library.
Intern Rockford J. helped you in your research. I must remind myself that he has entirely too much free time.
And another Vault HR notice will be sent to you by the time this episode airs. Anyway, WNUF, one of the earliest local television stations to open for business in Haddonfield. Although a book I read mentioned it was actually the very first television station that opened in the town. Is that correct, projectionist?
Well, I suppose you have to remember that in the early days of television, dear listeners, it was very much seen as a threat to movie theaters. To the studios themselves, actually.
So, you don't know for a fact if it was the first?
No.
Moving on, WNUF did seem to have an awfully large number of station managers over the years. 12, in fact, from the day it first opened until it was shut down by the government.
I had heard it went out of business, Ross Shirey.
That's because the investigation that led to it being shut down was considered so horrific that the public would be better served with a cover-up story. That it went out of business due to lack of funding.
Well then, what might the reason have been for the station being closed down, if I might ask?
I was about to get to that, actually, projectionist. As I was saying, the station operated like any other at the time. It was an affiliate for CBS. Then on January 12, 1963, at 9:45 a.m., a 15-minute TV show called Naughty Kids began to air.
Naughty Kids? What kind of program could have that name, eh?
It was a children's program with a heavy emphasis on morals. At least on paper, that's what it was. From the first airing, it began to garner attention. I suppose I should mention it was a puppet show. Some groups were upset over the religious bent to it, especially with the puppet characters.
How so?
Well, the main character was Bishop Mosley, and it was generally this puppet that would deliver the moral of each 15-minute episode. You also had Michael, a younger puppet, that would end up getting into some kind of predicament where he would face a moral choice. Then you had Scratch and Peter, two tiny puppets that would appear on Michael's shoulder during these moments.
Scratch? A cat, I presume.
Not in the least. Scratch was a mischievous devil puppet. I can only assume it was short for Old Scratch. Anyway, at the time, Vernon Locknut, the last station manager at WNUF before it was shut down, had started receiving complaints in large numbers about a month after Naughty Kids began broadcasting. Listeners, it was obviously a different era. It sounds like the station is really just trying to fill the dead air between reruns of Mr. Ed and I Love Lucy. What I'm trying to say is that no one at WNUF appeared to be checking this program out for themselves. The show, however, proved popular among kids so much so that it began to have a studio audience.
So, there were parent groups getting bent out of shape over the religious aspects to the program? I seem to recall an animated series that sounds a little like Naughty Kids. It featured a little Dot having moral quandaries.
You're thinking of Jot, Projectionist. That began in 1965. While it too presented moral lessons, it didn't have what started to become the underlying threats from Bishop Mosley. Listeners, there is no surviving footage of the Naughty Kids TV show. However, I have managed to find a portion of original audio.
Preston Griffith is indeed able to secure the most obscure reference material for your research, Ross.
In this case, Projectionist, it didn't come from the Vault's librarian. At least not directly. This was something we received as part of a vast research donation to the Vault. To this show in particular, from the widow of Martin Arnold.
How did the Vault receive this?
Apparently a family member listens to the show. She was able to get in touch with Preston, and now we have years and years of Martin's research notes, as well as unpublished newspaper articles for the Haddonfield Tribune. And, of course, this surviving piece of audio.
You see, Michael, you feel that way because you are a naughty kid now. Do you know what that means? Like all naughty kids, you need to be reminded not to stay up late. Only naughty kids will stay up late, you know. When you stay up late, you might try to take food from the refrigerator. Only naughty kids would do that. Why are you one of the naughty kids, Michael? Why? Why?
What the deuce was that?
That was from the last Naughty Kids broadcast from WNUF. Listeners, it turns out that the Naughty Kids television show was also being produced at the station. Martin Arnold was already publishing reports about some of the psychedelic imagery that was being used in the show. While that was audio from the last show ever, it ran for another 10 minutes, and what was broadcast was disturbing enough to bring in the government. Martin Arnold happened to be present when the State Guard stormed WNUF on October 31st, 1963. Projectionist, I'm going to let you read this excerpt here from his original newspaper article. Remember, listeners, this is not what was printed. Go ahead.
Vernon Locknut attempted to block our entrance into the television station. His eyes were wild, blood dripping from his nostrils as he cursed at us. Sheriff Laybracket quickly subdued the large man, who attempted to stab the officer with what appeared to be a red horned rod. As the State Guard filed into the television station, I followed close behind and couldn't help but notice the smell. I have been witness to far too many scenes of deadly violence in Haddonfield now to not recognize the stench of death. I can't help but think there is something dark and possibly evil at work in this place. The first guardsman to enter the recording studio quickly pushed his way back out, gagging and running for the door for fresh air. I saw only a glimpse inside of the recording studio. I cannot describe it as anything but a charnel house. Just before the door was slammed shut, and I was escorted out of WNUF, I couldn't help but notice the microphone bolted in the ceiling, covered in a small cage, and dripping gore. At the time of this article, I have not been given an official statement regarding the children and family in the studio audience.
You might see why the editor of the Haddonfield Tribune wouldn't publish Arnold's article, right? Now, you might have picked up on the mention of the weapon that Vernon was wielding in the unpublished article. Remember when we talked about Arnold's article from 1969 entitled The Portraits?
A horned rod, eh?
Exactly. Arnold stumbled upon what he felt was a society in Haddonfield, calling itself the Consecrated Praetors of the Horned Rod. Although we'll save it for future episodes, it does appear after 1969. The reporter definitely began to see a web of intrigue involving the supposed society. Why was Locknut wielding such a weapon? We just don't know, but I can tell you that Vernon didn't see any jail time for, well, whatever went down at the station, listeners. He was committed to Smith's Grove Sanitarium, where he died in an undisclosed accident 2 weeks later. I think that brings us to the close of this particular case, Projectionist.
You have given us much to think about, Ross. I look forward to seeing what else you might be able to uncover about Haddonfield with your next bit of research. Here on my sinister Tales of Terror. Listeners, I hope you are enjoying season 2 of our radio show. If you would like to reach me on the internets, you may do so by contacting me on the Facebooks, Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. I want to thank my assistant, Ross Shirey, for his invaluable research. I also will give a thank you to the Retroist for carrying my broadcast on his station. When you wish to learn of the joy and history of pop culture, you should visit the Retroist. This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well and goodbye.